All right, so we're here to talk about what are you better off doing when it comes to all different topics in our life. We hear so much from our friends, you see so much, or you're scrolling through your news feed. So what are you better off doing when it comes to men's health, our health, right? Let me tell you a quick little story before we get started. So Jake walks in and he goes, I'm a little underdressed here. I have my tie on. Dr. Serga, you with your tie on. And so we looked at each other and said, let's take off our tie.
There we go.
And it feels so good. That's the first step in men's health, right? What are you better off doing? Yeah. Taking that tie off as soon as you can.
Be comfortable, right?
Yeah. I got to tell you, talking to both of you guys, I'm just fascinated by both your backgrounds. So you, in particular, you work for Independence Blue Cross. And Independence Blue Cross is one of our sponsors of the Better Off podcast. But you have so many duties there. You're one of the vice presidents. You're the chief at the chief medical officer as well. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, I see you're volunteering your time with local groups. Like we're talking about the American Diabetes Association. You're the president of the Community Leadership Board. How are you finding the time to juggle all this? Plus your family. Yeah. Give me the secrets.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's a lot, and sometimes it feels like I kind of barely stay above. But honestly, these are the things I really love to do, right? I feel like I'm really privileged to be in this role and in a health plan that has such a role in this community. So they all kind of work together, right? I think about diabetes and things like men's health on a daily basis, right? And so it's a kind of natural fit to really engage with the community and an American Diabetes Association. So when it all fits together, it seems like it all makes a little bit more sense on a day-to-day basis.
And speaking of that, Jake, you're so plugged into the community. I love your background, too. You do broga, you know, yoga for guys, which is so cool. You've done yoga and other fitness work with some of our local sports guys. We're talking the Philadelphia Union. We're talking the Eagles. You do your own podcast, which is so neat. And tell me more about some of the writing that you do for U.S. News and World Report.
Yeah, and thanks so much for having me, and thank you both for facilitating this conversation. I feel it's one that's very important to me and to all the guys out there, and it's so great we're having this conversation. And my role at U.S. News and World Report is I like to write about linking lifestyle choices like a yoga practice, a meditation, exercise, sleep, to evidence-based medicine, to research, and with a really strong focus on men's health. And so also, like Doctor was saying here, I feel like all of my jobs do interweave really nicely. It doesn't feel like work at all when you are super involved with it and love doing it. And so, yeah, I'm happy to be here and happy to talk about men's health today.
I want to jump in on the yoga thing, because when I think yoga, I don't know. For me personally, I'm like, eh. But you have a way to bring me in to do yoga. What's that all about?
Yeah, so I think when guys come to yoga, there's a worry that it's going to be uncomfortable, that you know there's a stigma around it.
And sure.
Yeah, and rightly so sometimes. I think us as yoga teachers could be a little overbearing or over-spiritual, and it could feel maybe a little bit uncomfortable being in a room full of women. And so, you know, I like to teach yoga in a way that men could resonate with. So, you know, working on their weaknesses, whether it's flexibility or an injury or sometimes a health crisis that they're working on, you know, giving them really clear goals from point A to point B. A lot of talk about yoga therapeutics, working on their aches and pains through their poses and their practice. And so, trying to make it accessible and doable for guys, the right modifications that are safe for them. And so when everyone in the room has similar strengths, you could use that to your advantage to start to work on your yoga practice in a way that's more comfortable.
Well, I'm curious. So as chief medical officer, you are talking to all different groups in the community. And do you hear about folks doing yoga that are just guys going to different places, like some of this bro yoga we've talked about? Because there's all different avenues where we can focus our time and really get a lot out of it, right?
Right, right. Well, look, I've heard about it now.
There you go.
You know, I'll tell you that, you know, one of the keys, and I'm sure we'll get a lot into this, is to find ways as a man and in general, the public, kind of invest in yourself, invest in your own health. Find some way to be active that works for you, right? And and don't be constrained by, you know, what you're supposed to be doing, right? For some people, it can be yoga. For some people, it can be participating in a sport while you can, you know, get out and play some, pick up basketball or golf or whatever it is, right? Just try different kinds of things, see what works for you, and don't be afraid to kind of push your boundaries. I'll tell you that the first time I ever tried yoga, I felt like it was a form of torture because I was kind of in that point. I wasn't flexible enough, and I sort of felt like they were all stress positions. But to be honest, I've done a little bit more than that of that, you know, and I've done a little bit of CrossFit, and they bring some of those yoga elements in, and bringing in that flexibility makes you able to do things that you otherwise wouldn't have been able to do, and prevents injuries and keeps you out there and doing whatever it is that you like doing. So I do think it's worth always be learning, always be looking for ways to be active. And by the way, the other part of yoga or whatever it is, it's not just the exercise, it's the fact that you're out there with a community of other people and being more socially connected. That's really important as well.
That makes me think about this, because when I've gone and done stuff like that, I've always done it with a friend, and it's usually in a group. And I'm one of those people where you go to like a fitness class and you're like, okay, do this, follow along. I can't follow along. I'm like, I'm the only person out of sync.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's good to experience these different things. It's like, all right, maybe that one's not for me. But I like the idea of you do it as all as a group. Because if I'm messing up, I got my friend there, like, you're good, you know, keep doing it.
Yeah.
And in that camaraderie, it's got to be great just for mental health in general.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those things where I think both you guys can speak this, because both you guys are super busy.
Mm.
Time is of the essence. So it's like, what are you better off doing? Are you better off stretching for half an hour, or you're better off just doing a run? If you only have, like, say, half an hour to do something, if I came to you, maybe came to one of your yoga classes, or just get some fitness advice from you, if I had like half an hour to do something, what would you say to me? Would you talk about my interests, or how would you guide me?
Yeah, I would say, do what you love. So if you love to stretch, you ought to do it. If you love to jog, if it gets you out moving your body and breathing, great. I will say that for most folks, at some point, if they love to jog, they'll need something like a yoga or stretching. We could call it whatever you want to call it. But, you know, if your knee gets tweaked, if your back gets strained, and it sidelines you from doing the things you love and keeps you mentally healthy, then it's going to have to be part of your routine. And even if you make it, just make it a point to bookend your jog, I would suggest, even with 3 minutes of stretching, you know, 3 minutes in the beginning, 3 minutes at the end. If it clears you from any pain while you do the things you love, like jog or bike or whatever that exercise is, lift weights, you know, yoga is going to help you do the things you love to do longer. And so that is my advice, you know. Do both, if you could.
No, I agree. And I think, you know, I'll just say, you know, going back to my feeling the first time I did yoga, that was like a torture. And I think it was a marker of, you know, I used to be an athlete and play, you know, soccer and basketball, and kind of just assumed that it would all be fine and I could do that forever, and even if I sort of life got in the way. And it just becomes, you know, if you're just doing that running or just doing whatever, then your muscles, they're just getting tighter and tighter, and then you're more prone to injuries. And, you know, especially as you get a bit older, you really do have to think about that maintenance, right? If you want to keep doing whatever it is you love, right, whether it's running or even golf, right, a little bit of stretching is going to keep you in the game longer, right? And that's the key, right? Because once you get injured and you have to be at home, you're not able to do the things you're able to do. You kind of fall off the wagon, right? And that's what you want to prevent.
Yeah, this torture aspect is something that's often brought up for guys when they go into yoga, because they see the person next to them, and oftentimes in a yoga studio or in the mirror, and they try to keep up with them. Right. They end up hurting themselves. I hurt myself practicing yoga, trying to keep up with the, come to find out, professional dancer next to me practicing yoga. And so I think it is beneficial to find a yoga class for guys that suits them. And so my suggestion is always to find a teacher who looks like you. I know there's a lot of feasibility studies with yoga involving veterans who are way more open to a yoga practice if another veteran's teaching it. I think it's similar with all guys. Like, I think maybe that's why I resonate with guys, because they see me, they're like, oh, bigger guy, athlete. I get that. That's like me. Like, I also like to lift weights and run. I hurt myself growing up with sports, and so they might read my bio or see me and like, he doesn't look like what you would think a quintessential maybe yoga person might look like stereotypically. And so, you know, if you seek out somebody who looks like you, has the same history as you do, I think there's just way more resonance. You're able to communicate and connect with your students easier. And I do think if you've got that injury history, you know the right path for your students to stay out of injury, to modify. So it isn't so, it'll be difficult, no question. People are always come to yoga and they're like, my goodness, this is also an exercise. I sweat. I was like not expecting that. I thought we were going to sit around or something. But it'll always be some sort of challenging component to it. But if you've got the right teacher, should be less torture, hopefully, and more fun. And also with the men's class in good company. You know, I think men often, myself included, have to watch myself. I love this like Lone Ranger narrative, like I'll do it on my own. But reality of it is, you know, you look at the numbers, loneliness and, you know, isolation after COVID, I feel like it's takes a toll on your mental health. And right. I think guys, especially, there's not many spaces that are guys only where they get together and have a conversation. And I think there's a lot of benefit of this shoulder to shoulder like therapy where men are more willing to talk, more willing to open up when they're doing something like a yoga alongside their buddy, playing golf, fishing, these sort of things, playing basketball. It might sound weird, but I think we're more willing to open up and talk. And I even talk to my friends who have, you know, little boys, and like they're like, man, we sit down at the dinner table and we say, hey, how was your day? Tell me how you're doing.
Good.
Nothing. Silent, right?
Like, yes, good.
I don't know if you have a son, like, but
yeah, fine. Sons.
You fine start doing, is my word. Fine.
Yeah. You start doing the dishes, and all of a sudden they're like, let's slow down doing these dishes because they won't stop talking. And you know, I didn't think of this until I wrote about it and researched it, and I'd see this in myself, oddly. Like, somebody wants to sit down and have a coffee eye to eye and talk. You know, it's like gritting my teeth. Like, why is this so difficult? We go for a walk or a hike. Yep. Do something that involves activity. I mean, I could still have eye contact with the person, but oddly enough, like way more willing to maybe develop a deeper connection with somebody that way.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, men do tend to relate a little bit differently, and I absolutely see it. I have two sons, 8-year-old, 2-year-old, and certainly, you know, with the 8-year-old, all I get is a good, you know, come on. But if we kind of have like a little, we just create space, right? We're doing something else. You just sort of create the space. Then he's like, when he's ready, he's talking. And I think, you know, just on average, men tend to have fewer social connections than women. And, you know, I think there's a lot of different causes for that. But it is a huge predictor of kind of health outcomes. And it gets more and more important as you get older, but also men's connections tend to get lesser as they get older, right? And so I think this is something that we have to really take an active role on and seeking out those opportunities to engage with others and make sure that we have those connections. And it can be through different activities, through different kind of community engagement. It doesn't matter how it happens, but it is essential. And this is one of those things where, yeah, it's become even worse through the pandemic. I feel like that made people get out and connect with each other less. And it is the topic of the Surgeon General's report earlier this year, really on that sort of the crisis of loneliness that really does have really important health outcomes as you get older. So this is one of those things you can take action on today. Just find some ways to get out there, get engaged, and if it's doing that and exercise at the same time, even all the better, right? But that is one of those things where everybody can do a little bit more and find a little bit of time. It doesn't have to be a ton. I know we're all busy. Just scheduling that little bit of time for yourself and in your community is going to go a long way for you.
Well, here's what I'm hearing. We're better off just right out of the gate as guys making sure we have that social connection a little bit more. Because I was reading this study that on average that guys live less than women. Yeah. And you know what you just said really resonated with me, because sometimes we can be hesitant to do stuff. We're just kind of in our own little lane. We don't, you know, we may not but you see it all our friends talking as much. So I really hear you when you're saying take advantage of what's around the community. Or how about this? Maybe volunteering more. Because when you volunteer, you're meeting people with all different backgrounds. Mm-hmm. Usually you're meeting some really cool people because the people that volunteer, you know, they want to do this. They want to be there. So that's a great social environment to not only meet people, but form good long-lasting friendships right here in our community. And I'm just curious for both of you guys in particular, when you have the time to just jump in and have a little me time, what do you guys like to do? What's your me time? What's your me time? Just for you.
Just for me. It's hard these days with a two-year-old. But, you know, I do try to exercise when I can. I feel like in general, it's not just for the physical aspects. I feel like for my behavioral health, like for my sanity, it's really important to get out and do a little bit of exercise. So I'll do some CrossFit sometimes. I'll go for a run a different time. Started trying to play basketball on Saturday mornings. And again, that, you know, a group of people, which is helpful. Those are the types of things I like to do. I'll, you know, read otherwise, but there's a lot, you know, the kids really do take up a lot of time. But I do feel like I'll say that exercise tends to be a lot of that me time. Sometimes when I go for a run, I'll even have like a book on tape going, just because it helps me disconnect and kind of reflect on what else is going on. And honestly, I find like if I don't do any kind of exercise, things tend to irritate me a little bit more. And I do a little bit of exercise and they just start to slide off. Like, you know what? It's not so bad. That thing is like, it's annoying, but it's going to be fine. Right. And I think, That's just something that I've found about myself, right? Everybody else might function differently, but I find that connection just on a day-to-day basis.
It just makes you refocus, because think about this. When you go on a trip, right, you get some different perspective, you're in a different environment.
Yeah.
So when you get back, it's like, okay, you still got those vibes going. You look at the world a little differently.
Yeah.
So having that little time out, right, kind of makes you reshape everything. Where, you know what? Okay, they didn't have what I wanted at the grocery store. I'll be all right. It's gonna be okay.
Exactly.
What about you? What's your time when you carve out maybe about half an hour here or there throughout the week?
Yeah, similarly. I mean, I know my job is exercise in a way, but yoga is something different for me. So I do like to go out and go for a jog, get outside and go for a run. That is the keystone habit for me. And I think it is the door in for a lot of guys is exercise, movement, go for a walk around the block even, and put your phone in the house, like, and you're going to be okay. you know, you could just go ahead and put the phone down and go for a jog outside, look at the horizon, like narrow, like broaden your vision and get outside. And that is it for me. It really is the keystone habit for me. I like to mix it up with my exercise. I do like intensity, but I have to keep it in check. And I think it's like a good, nice way to tune in, to go on a slow jog even sometimes and get out, see what's going on in your neighborhood. See my neighbor Mario in South Philly, give him a wave, you know, see, it's a nice way to kind of connect with people and also be in your own headspace. And so I do think it is, in my experience and opinion, the biggest habit one could facilitate for themselves, cultivate for themselves in their lives, is to move to some capacity, right, whatever they can do.
I'll say one thing though, just to pick up on your point of like putting down the phone. That is something, right, that we sort of live with our phone all the time. I will admit that I was sort of overusing YouTube, and I was just watching, you know, and I find myself, and I just deleted the app because I was like, you know what, like it's just distracting, right? You find yourself going to the phone for a crutch whenever you've got a second and you need entertainment. And you know what, like sometimes your brain just needs like a full stop. Like it's not scrolling over the next thing, because that it takes your mind off of whatever else is going on, but it doesn't let you kind of reflect. So, you know, whatever it is that takes you to get to that full stop, that kind of like silence, then you're able to just process what else is going on in your life. And sometimes you just gotta like know yourself and delete that app, delete it, right? And you'll find that you just kind of refreshes. So I think it's a little bit of that self-reflection and insight about how are you using your time? And if you're using your free time in a way that's not that productive, like take action, right? Do something different.
Yeah, I think I think that's a big one for guys. I think we're very mission driven. I think we like a goal. And sometimes like, yeah, having something to aim towards, or, you know, literally deleting something off your phone, like, hey, look it, I did it, you know, 30 minutes without the phone. Like, what else could I do? Yeah. You know? Yeah. And I think that is a big thing for guys.
I like that. I'm going to do this. I'm going to make this happen. And then when you set your mind to it, us as guys, we do it.
There you go.
And you're talking my language. I did the same thing. Yeah. So I don't know, back one of those election years, you see everyone talking about different things in your newsfeed. And I started thinking, I don't want to hear all this noise. So I did the same thing. I went on Facebook, deleted the app.
Yeah.
And here's what I made. I made a fake Facebook with my five best friends just so I could have Messenger. Right. And I just got rid of all the noise. Now, it comes at the expense where I never know what's going on with my extended friend group.
Yeah.
But I found the same thing. I found that all this extra time, I was just like, when I wake up in the morning, just scrolling through the newsfeed. And I'm thinking, I can use this time differently.
Right.
And when I did that, like you said, I felt more productive.
Right.
And I felt in a different headspace, not having all that noise. And I was able to focus more on me, which is what we're talking about, right? What are you better off doing? Having that time where it's like just you and what works best for you. You guys are talking when you go out and kind of connecting a little bit with either some running or just even that little bit of nature vibe, noticing things in your neighborhood you wouldn't notice normal when you're just walking here, walking there. I'm a hike kind of guy. I'm not like that hard intensity sort of exercise. Right. I just want to go on a hike so I can get my exercise, get sweating a little bit.
Yeah.
But I just want to, you know, I just want to take it in. I want to get some fresh air. And,
and be present wherever you are, right? That's the other thing, where sometimes with the phone, you're just not present interacting with whoever you're interacting with, which gets back to that point of isolation, right? You're in the phone. You're not looking at somebody else and interacting with them.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things I feel we're lacking these days. And this is one of the cool things, Jake, that you do with bro yoga. You talk about, I mean, when I think about it on yoga off the top of my head, I'm like, eh, I don't know, we need to go to yoga.
Right.
And then when I hear it the way that you do it, tell me about the two places you had this bro yoga just this week.
Yeah, yeah. So we talked about this as I walked in, and even just thinking about it makes me smile, because people hear yoga and they're like, oh, the darn yoga studio. Especially guys, because it's like, and I walk through that door, and then there's incense, and then there's
these hard pass.
Yeah, so yeah, and I think that is unfortunately a barrier of entry for most guys. And yeah, so this past week we did it at so Monday we did it at Jerry's Bar in Northern Liberties. They have like a little mezzanine upstairs, beautiful space. That my buddy Bill Proud, shout out to Brogy Bill Proud.
At a bar, by the way, let's just take a little pause here. Yeah. You said we're doing yoga at a bar.
Yes, yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, a lot of the guys don't even drink. You know, we just hang out, and they feel, I think, again, more comfortable in that space to talk to one another. They've all been there before. A lot of them, of the giant group of guys, are from Northern Liberties and Fishtown. They just walk there, and you know, the guy who built it is there, the guy who did the electrics there, you know, they all kind of are in the same community. And yeah, and then we did it at guy's place of work, masonry warehouse office that he has up in Kensington, and nice enough to open up their space to us. And again, they just feel comfortable. We do it in breweries, restaurants, guys' houses, my house. There's something sweet about that. It's in their own space. It is their own. I think there's a comfort level there again that that they feel. It's, you know, I've taught, yoga studios are great in their own right and for what they are. I taught men's classes at studios, still do, and it's a nice way to find me. But what I noticed about 8 years ago is the one group we were like, hey, we want to do this more often, and our friend owns a church across the street that he renovated into his house and his photo studio, place of work. And, you know, if we do it over there, we think there's a couple other guys that might do this if we're out of the studio. And lo and behold, not only were there a couple other guys, I mean, it grew to over 150 guys within a year. And I think so that's real world evidence that there is a social barrier there in the studio. It's like getting out of there, getting into your place of comfort, whether it's your home, place of work, or the place that you like to hang out in your community. And we're fortunate in Philly that there's a lot of spaces like that that you could jump in, and all you need is enough space to do a down dog. And
that's a yoga move, right?
That's a move.
All right, there you go. All right, I'm learning.
That's right. There you go. Pretty soon you'll be teaching it.
I don't know if I go that far, but I need a good teacher like you. I need a good coach.
There you go. Anytime. You should come up.
Oh, man. Well, Dr. Serga, you know, as Chief Medical Officer at Independence Blue Cross, you hear all about the different things going on in the community. Mm-hmm. Do you hear about other cool stuff like that? I know I love the idea of yoga and, say, a bar, but give me the vibe of stuff going around the community, some things you've heard that guys are doing, that we're actually doing right here at home.
There's lots of things, you know, that are going on in the community. I mean, I would say, you know, some of the things that we're involved in, right? I think about the Broad Street Run, and there's tons of ways. You know, we've got the people taking the bikes and kind of riding around the city. Philly is such a vibrant city, and each neighborhood and the ton of ideas, and it's one of those places where everywhere you look, there's going to be something different, and there's going to be something different for you, right? So I think it's just about going out there, exploring, getting connected, probably spending a little bit less of that time on the phone and more discovering something that's going to get you engaged. The one other thing I'll say, you know, and we've talked a lot about the kind of exercise and eating right and so on. We talk about men's health. It is important for men to actually engage with their doctor and primary care, right? This is just one of those other dimensions where, you know, men tend to take a less active role. There's the sort of, you know, usually when people say, hey, be a man, comma, there's usually something bad coming after whatever that thing is, right?
Okay.
But it's really about, and men kind of take that to mean like, hey, I'm not going to go to a doctor until like I have something really, really wrong with me, right? And one of those simple things of just actually engaging with a primary care doc makes a huge difference when we think about all the kind of preventive care that you could be doing, right? Checking your cholesterol, checking blood sugars. You know, we think about some of the most common things that tend to affect men and cause them to die. You know, you think about heart disease, diabetes, you know, even kind of cancer screening. Those things are really important to do, and having that relationship with the doctor is really important. So if we think about activities, I just add that as a category. And you know, the reality is sometimes men get dragged in by their female partners. That's fine, and that's good. You know, when I was practicing primary care, I have to say that, you know, sometimes I found that to be a great thing, because then I could talk to two people, and I was half the time looking at the female partner to make sure she was on board, because I knew that that's what it was going to take to kind of get them to do what we were talking about doing. But whatever it takes, I think it is important to have that engagement. Take control, ideally, of your own health. And that's going to help you be around and be helpful for your friends and for your kids and, you know, for your grandkids, right? And so that investment is going to be really important.
It's easy to point the finger at guys to not go see the doctor. You know, well, why don't we afford them that luxury of going to an annual men's well visit? I think might be nice.
That is available and free, and I think it's classified as preventive care. So you know, certainly at Independence and probably most other plans, you can go to an annual visit with a primary care doc at zero cost to you.
Okay.
So that is really important to do. And most of the preventive things that you talk about, whether it's getting a colonoscopy for colon cancer screening or the FIT test or vaccines, all these things are classified as preventive care. So there's no out-of-pocket cost to you, right? So these are just, you know, really important things that everybody should know and be aware of. And it is a huge investment in yourself and in your future, and ultimately, like, your family and your friends having you around and healthy, right? And you make a really important point of thinking about that whole person health, right? That's one of the central things we think about at Independence. And what we mean by whole person is it's not like your physical health and then, well, your brain and your sort of, you know,
this
your
and
mood
that.
And
yeah.
all that is
yeah, yeah,
separate,
yeah.
right? They're the same thing. You can't really think about one without the other, right? You're not really going to engage with your diabetes and taking care of yourself and monitoring your blood sugars and so on if we're not addressing your depression or your anxiety. And we just have to acknowledge that as humans, that happens sometimes to us. And as men, we're not invulnerable to that. And so seeking help, and sometimes it's from your doctor, sometimes it's from your friend, sometimes it's from, you know, a religious figure, or whatever it might be, right? Being proactive about getting that help, engaging, and that's part of your taking control of your own health and well-being.
Hey, I'm just curious, you guys, I haven't heard about this. Is there ever a place where you can go see a doctor that's not in like a standard office? Like maybe it's somewhere kind of more open, more out? Because I feel, at least for me sometimes, listen, I'll go to the doctor and I'll just, all right, let me go get my physical done at that.
Right.
I'd rather go to a doctor and I feel like it'd be more open if it weren't just in an office setting. Office setting kind of makes me like a little rigid a little bit. Yeah. So I'm curious if either of you guys have heard some sort of thing like that, like having like a wellness check kind of maybe out somewhere, maybe out somewhere a little different.
Yeah. I mean, there is a lot of innovation in this space. I think, you know, the most obvious one is, you know, there is telemedicine, right?
Oh, yeah. Being so able to be in my home.
Yeah, being able to access care, and you can do that through your phone or your computer, and I think that just access to care wise, that's very convenient. You don't have to take time off work and go to another office and wait. And for a lot of things, that can be good or good enough, right? Sometimes you need to go in person, sometimes you need the exam. It's not replacing it, but it's just in terms of like increasing access and making it more convenient. Telemedicine is an option for you, and you know, we offer telemedicine for our members, whether it's through your own doc or through our kind of contracted entities. You know, that's something that really can help a lot. And there's a ton of companies kind of innovating in this space, right? There's some of them that have things like a pod that'll, you know, you can go to in the office and step into, and it'll be able to listen to your heart and do those kinds of things. And so I feel like this is a really changing space. You know, we're interested and, you know, we're looking at a lot of these things and thinking about how are we going to evolve and not only just, you know, keep up, but thinking about how do we make it better, right? Because people need different things, right? Sometimes some people want to be in the office, they want that security, and some people, you know, they're busy and they want other things, they want convenience in a different setting, and we should meet those people where they are.
And for me, I'd be better off doing the telemedicine. I didn't even think about that. Yeah. Even just like having a physical, granted, I know you have to do some like body contacts, but at least having the talking component of it, I feel so much more comfortable in my home. I'd actually feel comfortable talking about different things. And that's what I would be better off doing. You know, that's why we're here at the Better Off Podcast.
That's the game changer, I think, for guys, especially the telehealth and even some of these apps as a starting point for mental health. I feel the telemedicine for men, I think, does take some of that discomfort out of the whole process. And I think that's been I think that is a game changer, the telehealth.
Yeah. It was one of those things that I feel like we kind of knew before the pandemic. We knew that telemedicine was more convenient and it could work, but I don't know that we fully, like, as a society, kind of believed it in our hearts, right?
Sure.
And I would say, you know, both from a consumer perspective or even from a provider perspective, what we saw during the pandemic is that the rates of utilization of telemedicine just skyrocketed. And part was that was because, like, you couldn't go into the office. You just couldn't, right? And so that was the only setting that there was. And as offices opened up, we've seen that, you know, it's come back down a little bit, but way higher than it used to be. And so I think that's a product of, you know, our members seeing that actually telemedicine is pretty good. It's pretty convenient. I get a lot of what I wanted through that, and I can even get that from my own doctor in my own home, which is great. And you also have providers, you know, docs and other kind of clinicians seeing that actually this is not bad and I can do a lot through telemedicine. And so I feel like as a society, we've gotten that experience and it's now a part of the expectation of how we deliver care. And I think that's a good thing.
I got some rapid fire questions for you.
Yeah.
I want to kind of get into maybe a little bit the healthy eating aspect through your work with diabetes and different things like that.
Right.
Hey, are we better off focusing, let's say, on supplements or vitamins?
Yeah.
And I mean, I know it's all part of the same thing, but what would be your advice if I need to do one thing to make myself a little healthier, besides like the healthier eating portion, you know, getting some vegetables and things like that?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I feel like I'm going to give you a disappointing answer.
No,
because,
that's okay. I want to hear what you... Listen, you're the doctor. I want to hear what you have to say.
Because I don't feel like there's always great shortcuts on this stuff, right?
Okay.
I think the better thing is to think of... You're better off just trying to have a balanced diet, right? Getting just a variety of things, right? Even thinking about a variety of colors on your plates. That gives you a lot of the different kind of vitamins in your food, the greens, you know, the vegetables, the sort of fruits, the you know, having a controlled part of meat. That should give you enough of the kind of nutrition that you need. Trying to avoid sugary, kind of highly processed foods and drinks, by the way. Trying to, you know, if you're thirsty, drinking water rather than drinking, you know, a sugary beverage. That's going to go far in terms of investing in your health. The supplements and vitamins, you know, there's not a lot of evidence, right, that they help a lot, right? And I think if I were to choose, and you think about that better off question, I think you're better off thinking about eating those healthier whole grain foods, you know, rather than trying to eat the bad stuff, drink the sugars, and then pop a couple of pills. It's not gonna fix that, right? So I think thinking about that diet and what you put in your body most of the time is probably the most important thing you can do.
And this is what I want to hear, yeah. Right? There's no shortcut.
Yeah.
Focus more, a little bit more on that, and that's what you're better off doing. And you know, I'm curious from your aspects, you're seeing people from young to old, mm-hmm. from bro yoga or just through what you do with some of the physical exercise around the community. For you, in your opinion, what are we better off doing as we age to keep ourselves in check? The big thing I learned from both of you guys today is stretching becomes more important as you get older. I never knew that.
Yeah, I do. I mean, again, I think you've got to enjoy what you do. So if it's something you love to do, you'll be more apt to do it more frequently. And so I just think something like a yoga is a way to supplement whatever you love to do that's going to help you stay out of pain, injury-free. So if you love to, like I said, run, lift weights, whatever that is, that exercise might be, I do think something like a yoga at some point will be helpful to keep you doing the things you love longer. And so that's my suggestion, is something like yoga to help keep you all those aches and pains at bay, to not so that you're not sidelined from doing the things that absolutely light you up, whether it's getting on the ground playing with your grandkids or, you know, whatever the case might be.
I'm curious, just through all the different things that all you guys have done, what would you say you'd say to someone at home right now, listening, this is the first step you can do if you want to get a little more healthy? What would you say to that person? Just first step.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's about just engage in your own health. Think about your own investment in your own health. And then within that will come some, you know, kind of no-brainer things, right? If you're smoking, cut down or stop, right? If, you know, when you're thirsty, you drink sugar, you're sort of... feel like you're overweight compared to where you'd like to be, right? Start, cut down a little bit on the food, exercise a little bit, take a few, you know, start adding small things, right? Even just exercising, you know, a few minutes every day or three times a week, it makes a huge difference. So it's whatever that first step is, right? Change that mindset, see yourself as responsible and in control of your own health, and take that first step. And maybe it's the cutting down on smoking. Maybe it's the starting to do a little bit of exercise or getting outside. Maybe it's the putting down the phone a little bit more. Whatever that first step is, that's going to help you then get on the road, right? And then you start taking the second and third and so on. But sometimes if people feel like, oh, I have to change all this stuff and it's so hard, it starts to become, you know, just overwhelming, right? So all you got to do is just take that first step, and that's going to help you to get on the road to feeling like, you know, healthier and better shape for yourself and your family and your friends.
What would you say? Advice to someone listening at home.
Yeah, very similar. You know, take it small victories, gain momentum, and maybe that means waking up early and getting some sun in your eyes. You know, take a walk around the block. That's it. You know, and don't try to run the marathon next week. You know, because I think, you know, sometimes we set ourselves up for failure when it comes to fitness and our health, and so I think that's wise. Take it in really small steps and talk to yourself like you're someone you love, you know, like, hey, look at me, you know, you did something good for yourself today. You did the first step. Like, I think sometimes we could sabotage ourselves with putting ourselves down mentally or the negative self-talk. I think talking to yourself as if, you know, you're someone worth caring about, worth taking care of is helpful.
And you can give yourself a little bit of grace as well of just saying, like, look, you know, sometimes you don't do all the things you're supposed to do, and it's okay. It doesn't have to be like a, you know, 100% perfect or zero, right? And just allowing yourself to kind of go on that journey, I guess. You know, when I think about, I don't love to run a lot, and I'd kind of fallen out of the habit, and I decided I was going to do the Broad Street Run last year, first time I did it. And when I first started running, I was really kind of discouraged because, you know, as a former athlete, I was like, well, I expect myself to be able to run like faster and not be tired. Like, why am I, this is bad. And I felt like I'm my pace is slow and whatever. And then I was just like, you know what? Like, I'm just gonna go. And if I like manage to lace up my shoes and get out, I'm gonna count that as a victory for myself. And I'm just gonna go at whatever pace I can go. And I'm gonna try to build up a little bit over time, right? And that kind of change in mindset just helped me. And eventually, you know, it got better, but I wasn't good at the beginning, and I wasn't anywhere close to where I used to be, right? But in the end, it was something I was really, you know, I set that goal. I was really proud that I was able to do it. And I think that's the kind of thing that we got to pick those things and start small.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Like, yeah. Be willing to be a beginner again. Be willing to be bad at something.
Right.
You know, sometimes I'll look at my running shoes for an hour before I go and put them on and go for a walk, you know? And then sometimes I just have to, like, say to myself, you know, like, it doesn't matter if you run, like you said, your fastest mile, just go out, put on your shoes and walk first. And so, yeah, I think that's a smart way to approach it.
And just like you were talking about finding a teacher that's more on your level, more in your vibe, kind of maybe understands where you're coming from. Like, for me, I'm not that muscular, so I need someone kind of not so muscular if I'm going to say go do yoga. But it goes back to, like, we were just talking with getting your running shoes. You know what? I need to go out someone who doesn't go running a lot, who this would be like kind of maybe their first time jumping in, because that person not only would keep me disciplined and make sure I'm beaten up and we're actually doing it, but I'm not going to be pushed too hard. Because, right, you go with someone who runs all the time, that's not going to be my jam by any means.
Right.
So that's one of my biggest takeaways hearing from both of you guys today, too, is, you know, when you do something or go to a class, get someone similar to you. Because this is going to fit with you a lot better. Because I feel like I've heard life advice. You know, opposites attract, but the people you stay with over time are the ones that have so many commonalities and similarities with you. Mm-hmm. And I never thought about doing that from a health aspect, from like a kind of a health perspective. So I love that. Mm-hmm. Hey, if we want to do bro yoga, how do we get in touch with you?
Yeah. So you reach out to me directly at Yoga with Jake on Instagram. That's where all my content is living. And at my website, yogawithjake.com, I'm doing all kinds of things for the holidays with virtual classes. If folks are like, you know, I can't get out to a class still, you know, I have the kids, and that's a nice way, a convenient way to work with me. Every weekday morning, 7:30 a.m., people sign on, like I said, a steady group for 5 years now. And that's one way. And then the men's classes are pop-up. And so I'll blast them out ahead of time on Instagram and on my website, yogawithjake.com. And that's the best way to get a hold of me. And always up to something. We're always doing something. There's always yoga classes, pop-up classes. Anyone could join at any time, any level. Very brand new, beginner friendly. You know, I've been there. I've worked with all kinds of folks with limitations and all kinds of injuries. You're never not flexible enough. You're never too far injured. You're never too far inexperienced to do yoga. And unfortunately, it has that reputation. Trust me, there's ways to modify, to make it safe, to make it doable. And, you know, sometimes physical pain is the limitation factor that's affecting the rest of your entire well-being. And if we could get you out of that physical pain, which yoga is great at, if you approach it right, then your whole life will shift. Sometimes people don't even realize what it's costing them, their mood, their mental health. Mm-hmm. And so it's worth it. You're worth it. Give it a shot. Yeah.
Well, Dr. Serga, you brought this up earlier that, you know, you feel a mood difference when you just do a little bit of exercise and a little bit of me time. So I hear you when you say about the mood. And I like that you can come and start on my level. You know, you find where I'm at and nothing that's that intimidating. Mm-hmm. And then I'm hearing what you're saying about this little yoga-ing, because I love the idea of just being comfortable in my own house and not intimidated. I can't follow along with the person next to me and I'm not looking good. So get me up to date on you, Dr. Serga. Where can we get in touch with you? Or do you have more information about some of the things you do or maybe some of the work you do with diabetes?
Yeah. I'll just say, you know, Independence Blue Cross, we're, you know, really proud to be the leading health plan in southeastern Pennsylvania and part of the Water Blues Network, right? And, you know, if you go to ibx.com, you can find a lot more information about what we do. But, you know, what I spend most of my time doing is really thinking about how to deliver that kind of better health care, better health outcomes for our membership, and really working closely with all the providers in this region to do that. So I feel really privileged to be a part of that, be a part of that kind of hometown health plan. So I think that's the biggest thing. Certainly do work with the American Diabetes Association, and we just had our step out walk earlier. Last month? Yeah. So it was about a month ago now. We do that every year, and we have a bunch of events that are going to be going on over the coming year. So I really feel privileged to be a part of this community in Philadelphia, and hopefully do my best to improve the health of the people that we serve.
Because I gotta tell you, I just love chilling with you. I felt this was fun having bro time. Like, just talking to you guys. Like, this, I don't want to stop. I mean, I just had a good time. Just, like, literally just, you know, talking all around and having conversations. And I feel maybe sometimes that's also what we're lacking. Just a little time out to just go out with our friends, go have dinner, and talk. Because I feel like a lot of times, I'm meeting you, or I'm doing this, X, Y, and Z. But just to have a reason just to sit around with no goals beyond just catching up and talking about whatever comes on your mind. I mean, I learned from you guys today. I have things that I want to do just because we were just talking whatever came on our mind.
Absolutely.
I love it. So there we go. I know what I'm better off doing. And this is the Better Off Podcast, sponsored by Independence Blue Cross. So happy to have you with us. Can't wait to do it again.